This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Great show planned today as a result of a show we did last week and this week with Brooks Kubik. We've gotten a lot of questions, so we're going to try to answer some of those questions. This always happens when Brooks is on the show. So during the first hour, we'll have Brooks on. We're just calling this the dinosaur question and answer session, but it's not necessarily just about dinosaur training. Okay, during the second hour, Dan Pardee is going to join us. Dan had a lecture at the Ancestral Health Symposium 2013 that was a real eye-opener and really an extension of the discussion about modern lifestyles and poor sleep. Very, very interesting, but also a totally different approach to some of the problems related to poor sleep in this day and age. Before we get started, I just have to remind you that Superior Hardcore Peptides is running a 30% off sale, ridiculous big blowout sale. All the peptides on their website are 30% off. Use the coupon NEWS, N-E-W-S-3-0. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Superior Hardcore Peptides banner ad today. Brooks Kubik, how you doing?
Carl, I'm great. How are you?
Is the flame warm, the flame of physical culture that you keep burning? Does it get hot?
Well, we try to keep it burning as hot as possible, but I tell you, there are a lot of people out there who seem bound and determined to try to pour cold water on it from time to time.
Really?
You
know what I mean? How so?
Well, you've got so many people out there who continue to put out the most incredible, outdated, bad, often commercialized diet advice, nutrition advice, training advice. And, you know, we have an information explosion going on. Post-internet, of course we do, almost by definition.
Right.
But, you know, I've said before, when I was a kid growing up, you would go to the library for information, and you'd go to the bookshelves if you were interested in weightlifting, weight training, bodybuilding, anything like that. You'd go to the shelf and you'd find one or two books, maybe, if you were lucky. They didn't have any in the bookstores. No one was interested in working out or training or weightlifting or anything like that. If you were lucky, you would, be able to read the muscle magazines of the era. And that was basically your only source of training advice. And your options were very limited. I mean, you know, even if you bought every book and course in every magazine that they had back then, it still was not a lot of information. And you'd end up, you know, you'd have one, maybe two bookshelves of books and courses, and that was it. And that was if you bought absolutely everything that was available. And on the, you know, in one sense, that was bad because it was hard to find information. But in another sense, it was good because the information that you had was not the kind of stuff that had to compete with other information.
Right, and it was also usually a distillation of things that had kind of withstood the test of time, right?
Absolutely.
Because now anybody can come up with some harebrained idea about training or nutrition and put up a website and promote it using pay-per-click and other... Mm-hmm. Advertise and get this stupid idea that has not withstood any tests whatsoever, other than this N equals one experiment that this person has done, and say, hey, this is what you should be doing, and they're taken as an authority.
Absolutely. And so, And with the internet, of course, that's, you know, that's just gone wild. And the problem is so many people, you know, well-intentioned people who are really trying to find what works, how do I train, what should I eat, they're just bombarded with information, and they end up, you know, their brains are just spinning. You know, it's like the scene in The Exorcist where the, you know, the head is spinning out of control. You know, they're just going nuts, and they're having the most difficult time. And what happens is they can't stick to a diet. They can't stick to a nutrition plan. They can't stick to a training program. They have to bounce from one thing to another, and they never get any results because give anything long enough to work.
It's even worse than that. Adele Moussa talks about this phenomenon, right? So people will read a blog today that'll talk about some vitamin deficiency and its associated symptoms. And they'll almost spontaneously identify those symptoms in themselves and say, oh, you know, I've got to do. Then the next day they'll read another blog post and it'll talk about a different set of symptoms. And so they hop from one thing to another. And, you know, it's really interesting you say this because not only are we myopic today, we only see what's right in front of us, right? We can't think about 10 years ago, 50 years ago. But on top of that, thought is so fragmented and so interrupted now that I think that the way we think is almost a micro example of the way we live, as you point out, that people hop from one thing to another and they never give anything any time to set in.
Well, that's very true. And one of the things that I'm seeing and that I'm focusing on and starting to pin a lot of the dots together is something that I think may tie together a lot of people that you've had on the show over the last couple of weeks. There is, in my opinion, an enormous link between the ability to concentrate, to focus your mind on something, on a particular task, and the ultimate results or the success that you will have in that particular endeavor, be it a mental activity, you know, something you're doing at work, something creative, or physical training. You know, you have to be able to concentrate. And the ability to concentrate is being disrupted by modern media, by social media, by the internet,
by text messages,
the constant bombardment. You know, we never turn off, and as a result, we never concentrate. You know, I was listening to the Colbert Show yesterday, and Colbert had on, forget his name, but he's the head of the U.S. Department of Education. Very nice man, very smart, well-intentioned, doing a lot of good things. Trudy watched the show, and afterwards, you know, she was clapping and cheering and saying, you know, hey, I really like this guy. He's got some great ideas. Well, right. But he had one idea that I thought was horrible. He wanted to do away with textbooks and replace them with electronic textbooks or electronic study guides. And every kid would have, you know, a laptop or a handheld or something, and everything that they needed to read for school would be on that device. And I thought to myself, you know, what happens there is you're not holding a book in your hand. You're not underlining, highlighting, annotating, marking, turning the page, making notes, going back, making the connections. And yes, I know you can do those things electronically in some form or another, but it's different because you have the electronic media in between you and the ideas that you're reading about or studying. And I was thinking, oh, good God, don't do away with textbooks. We don't need them.
There's going to be banner ads in textbooks then, and learning lessons. There'll be banner ads for companies, you know?
And he threw out, an idea, you know, he threw out a dollar. You know, we spend so many million dollars on textbooks in this country, and I thought, well, you know, fine, I can think of some places to do a little bit of budget cutting. You know, I won't get into that because we'll turn it into a political show.
Okay, and if you want to save some trees, get rid of these stupid phone books they keep throwing at my front door two times a year that I just toss in the trash.
Yeah, we got them here at work, and you know nobody uses them.
Right.
But, you know, you can use them to, you know, practice ripping phone books apart or give them to someone
there
else who's doing that. But you've got that going. And the other thing that is happening that is really affecting people, I think, is diet and nutrition. And I think that a lot of what people are eating nowadays is the worst possible food in the world.
Oh, yeah.
from an ability to concentrate point of view. And the result is we're living in a world where we are bombarded with stimuli, you know, electronic media. We're bombarded with noise. That makes it hard to concentrate, and our diets make it hard to concentrate. And you put it all together, people just don't have an attention span that is worth anything.
Well, now we have to go into a break. I'm not mm-hmm. looking to pimp something, but we did a superhuman university course on increasing mental focus with you.
Mm-hmm.
Would that help? Seriously, I mean, would it help people?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's a course about how to concentrate, how to focus, how to train your brain to help do the things that you need to do to be successful in life.
I'm going to talk to Brooks after this show today mm-hmm. and come out with a way to get this in everybody's hands.
Yeah.
You know what? Because I think we got to kind of we got to part with tradition and say, look, we got to get this in everybody's hands. It's a really good point. It's not what we intended to discuss today, and we have questions that we're going to answer when we come back from the break. But you know what? This is something that is belaboring our population today. We're constantly interrupted with text message and phone calls and emails and everything that goes along with it in this day and age. And thought process is becoming fragmented. It's affecting our physiology. It's a bad thing. So
and it's affecting our training, and we can pick up on that when we come back.
Okay, because that is actually going to lead into one of the questions. We're talking with Brooks Kubik, keeper of the flame of physical culture. The website is BrooksKubik, KUBIK.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formula on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Back. You know, you're so right. We are so overwhelmed with information. We don't know what to believe, what not to believe. You know, I'm taping a TV show now, Brooks, and we're going after a mainstream audience. I'm actually trying to get some of those people out there who are looking for a Dr. Oz type show, but deliver real information, the kind of information we talk about here. And I'm up against it every day with the radio show and now the TV show. This, I mean, the noise level for information out there is just off the hook. And that's why I say the new evolutionary selection pressure is where you get your information from. That is going to determine your longevity and the longevity of your future. I guess it's not ancestors, right? It's your future relatives if you're around long enough. But okay, so let's get right down to the nitty gritty about the effects on training. So you get a lot of questions about this all the time. And the reality is, very few people, including myself, consistently go into the gym and train with that laser-like focus that was talked about back in the day by the early fathers of physical culture and unfortunately got cast, mind-muscle connection and all that sort of stuff. But the reality is making that connection with what you're doing really does have almost steroid-like effects, does it not?
Well, it absolutely does. It is utterly impossible to do anything significant in the physical realm unless you're completely there, you're completely focused in the mental realm. Tommy Kono, in one of his books on weightlifting, recounts a conversation with a great master of Oriental martial arts who tells him, and they're talking about Zen and the martial arts. And everyone, you know, I think everyone gets it that martial arts have a huge mental component to them. But this master, this Oriental master, said that the closest thing to Zen in the martial arts was Olympic weightlifting. Because you have to get in so focused and so deep. And I would say it's not just Olympic weightlifting. It's any kind of truly high-level physical culture, be it bodybuilding, be it, you know, weight training out in your garage or your basement, training at the gym, powerlifting, strongman competition, bodyweight training, anything that you're doing. You need that laser focus, and you need the integration of the mind and the body, and you have to have that to make it work. And that is, you know, it is a form of what I refer to as moving meditation, or something that is as close to Zen in the martial arts as anything could be. If you don't have that, you're not going to succeed. You're training with self-imposed limitations. It's always funny when I send emails every day to my email list. Quick plug for that, go to www.brookscubic.com. You can sign up for the free emails. And, the emails give training tips, they give advice, they give hints, they share success stories from readers, they answer questions from readers, do a lot of different things. Give some Iron Game history, motivation, inspiration, just lots of different stuff, because there's lots of different things that you need to be hearing about and feeding your brain on a regular basis. But, one of the things I talk about is the mind-body connection, or the mind-muscle link, linking the mind and the body. And invariably, when I shoot out emails on that, I get a certain number of readers, 5, 6, 10, whatever, who hit click, delete, don't want any more of your emails. And I'm thinking to myself, that is such a shame, because what it shows is the people who are hitting the delete button on those emails.
Right.
They want an answer like, give me a special program, give me a super secret exercise, give me a new diet, give me a new supplement, give me this, give me that. Tell me something simple that I can do. And they don't want to hear the answer, which is simply train hard, train efficiently, train progressively, use your mind to develop your body, link your mind and your body. Simple stuff like that. They don't want to hear it, and particularly they don't want to hear about this mind-muscle link. And there was one day I talked about your pet peeve, cell phones in the gym.
Yeah, I mean, they drive me crazy. I don't know. I mean, I don't take my cell phone in the gym, but that's because I'm not a surgeon waiting for an organ transplant, surgery to occur. I feel like anything that is going on in my life can wait an hour.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. And, it's just amazing how many people finish their set of whatever, and the next thing bang, they're on the device, checking the internet, checking their email, checking this, checking that, on the cell phone. It's like you're completely missing the point, because the point is that for that 45 minutes or 60 minutes or 90 minutes or whatever it is, it's training time. And news alert, training times includes rest between sets. Because when you rest between sets, you're looking back at what you did in the previous set, and you're focusing on what you can do to make the next set even better.
So what do you do during that moment? Do you meditate and take yourself out of the picture so you can relax, or do you visualize yourself doing the next set, or do you look at what you just did and somehow have that feed what you're about to do?
You can do any of those, and you can do all three. Simple example. When I train in the garage. I do Olympic weightlifting, and there's a huge form and technique component there. And I actually videotape every lift that I do, even the warm-ups. Start with an empty bar, and I videotape that. And as I add weight to the bar and move up in weight, I'm every set I videotape. And what I typically do is I finish the set, walk over, turn off the machine, turn it back on, and watch what I just did. And I watch the form, I watch the bar path, I watch everything, and I say, okay, that was good, do it exactly the same. Or move faster here, move slower there, watch the transition, do this, do that, whatever. But I make a note of that. I walk over, I sit down, I pick up my training journal. I've already got the sets and reps and the exercises and the weights and so on outlined. And I make a note, use so much weight on the bar for such and so exercise. First lift, here's what I saw. Good lift, but, make this change on the next lift. So I'm actually literally looking at what I just did. and I'm recording what I did, and I'm making a note of how did I do, what do I need to do to improve. Then I will typically relax for a second, have a sip of water, and then just relax with some deep breathing and just empty mind focus. I'm not really thinking about anything in particular, just relaxed. And 15 to 30 seconds of that, then I turn my focus to the lifting platform and the bar and the coming set, and that's when I start the mental rehearsal for the coming set. So I do a little bit of each of them. And the interesting thing is, as you go through the workout, you know, you become physically tired because you're tiring your body as you go through the workout. But you also start to tire your mind.
And there's a lot of evidence that points to fatigue starts in the brain, not in the muscles.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just, you know, ask any athlete. I mean, you know, that's, you know, Vince Lombardi's great line, fatigue makes cowards of us all. You know, and it's not just physical, but it's mental fatigue. And so what happens is the temptation becomes, in between sets, I'm just going to sit and relax with an empty mind longer than I'm going to do that focus on the upcoming set. Because focusing on the upcoming set actually, after a while, becomes fatiguing. And so you have to say, okay, I'm going to stretch myself, and you know what? Even though my legs are tired, and, you know, my traps are starting to get tired, and I feel it in my lower back and my hips, you know what? I'm going to keep lifting, and I'm also going to keep focusing for the same length of time and just as hard and intense on the very final sets in the workout, just the way I did on the earlier ones when I was fresh and it was easy. And so what you're actually doing is you're applying progressive resistance to the between set concentration that you're doing. And you actually have to work at it. You know, it's just amazing.
Well, and this is really great. This is a segue to a question. Okay?
Okay.
And it has to do with failure, training to failure. There's a lot of definitions for what failure is. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to pose this question to you, Brooks, because I want to hear your thoughts on what true failure is in a movement, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're talking with Brooks Cubic. Go to brookscubic.com today. There's so much good information there. Brooks Cubic is the keeper of the flame of physical culture. I have gotten emails from people Avakai Collision Israel saying, I thought Brooks was going to have his own show. Yes, he is. We have everything ready to go. We're just trying to find three sponsors to fund the show. And we will have a once-a-week show dedicated to physical culture called Physical Culture Radio. So it is coming. Be patient. It's going to be here very shortly. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys, hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5-pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Later in the show, Dan Pardee is going to join us. I'm telling you, this is going to be a really interesting discussion. I learned some things there that have changed my opinion on how we can actually influence our bodies to get better sleep. Nobody's talking about this stuff, but Dan Pardee, it's going to be a really good discussion. Right now we're talking about Brooks Kubik, and we're just answering questions that come in from time to time as a result of Brooks being on the show. So I got a question asking to ask you what you consider failure, training to failure. And this is why I'm really interested in this question. So we're going to be doing Casual Friday on the TV show also with my co-host Tony Vannetti. And Tony came to the gym with me the other day, and we trained. And I did my power squats, which are very impressive looking to the neophyte, with 720 pounds. My last set was 720 pounds. I did my 5x5, but I did a 6 set with 720 for 3 reps. And because he videoed it, because I'm going to put it on, I'm going to challenge Dr. Oz. I am. I'm serious. I'm going to say, you know, everybody's taking advice from Dr. Oz about how to live longer and be stronger and be healthier. Let me see Dr. Oz do this, and we're going to show the video. Well, the first rep, I clearly go below parallel. Mm-hmm. And now, you have to keep in mind, my kneecaps hurt. I've got pain in my kneecaps. I'm going to have it looked at. I don't know if it's tendonitis in the quadricep tendon or the kneecap tendon, or if it's just arthritis behind the kneecap, which I suspect. I don't know if there's anything I do about it other than try to wear it down over time, but I do have pain. So when I get down below parallel, coming back up, there's that moment of almost like a snag point where my mm-hmm. kneecaps just hurt like hell. Mm. So, but I still squat, and I squat deep. But I noticed that in this case here with the 720 on the power squat machine. My second rep was not as deep, and clearly my third rep was not as deep, which made me think, is the definition of failure not being able to move the weight any longer, or is it not being able to move the weight in the full range of motion? So theoretically, I failed after rep one, and two and three were just less than full range of motion. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to throw out another question before I answer it, but I'm not going to answer the question. I'm just going to throw it out.
Okay.
The question is, why do you or why would anyone want or need to train to failure? Question mark.
Ah.
And let's put that aside because that's something else we ought to talk about. Now, failure, I would define failure as not being able to perform another repetition in good form on your own without assistance. And under that definition, if you start cutting the depth on squat or you're bouncing the bar off the ground on the deadlifts, you're cutting the range of motion on presses or you're leaning back, you're swinging the bar on curls, anything like that, at that point, you are past the point of failure.
Okay.
There are lots of definitions of failure. I mean, you know, you've got the positive failure, which is basically what I just described. You've got the, you know, keep going until you cannot budge the bar at all in any range of motion whatsoever, and someone else has to take it off your shoulders if you're squatting, or you know, just help, you know, help you get it back in the rack or whatever, depending on the exercise that you're doing. Arthur Jones wrote about that in Iron Man magazine a long, long time ago, like 40 years ago, and he was talking about, you know, doing squats until you can't move the bar.
Well, that's what he did to Casey Viator, right? I mean, he used to make him squat until the poor guy couldn't move anymore. They used to have to roll the bar off of his back, and he would collapse.
Well, that's what was reported, yes. I wasn't there to see it. Don't know if it happened, but that's what was reported.
By the way, that's a very dangerous thing to lie about, to get people to try to do that. But that's another story. Go ahead.
Well, no.
I'm saying you're right. I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, if they were just fabricating that to try to imply the intensity, and that really, there were young kids out there that were going to do that. But that's another story.
I wasn't there, and I don't know what happened. But my point is this: if you are squatting heavy weights and you train very, very hard, and you go to the point where you cannot do another rep in good form, you've trained as hard as you need to train to stimulate muscular growth. If you start doing more, and you're cutting the depth, or you're leaning forward, you're doing something to alter your form and alter your groove, that is when you're in a danger ground. And if anyone says to train that way, I completely disagree.
Right.
You're in a dangerous space because you're handling a weight that by definition you can no longer control. Control means you perform the movement in full range, exactly the way it should be performed, and you don't allow fatigue to alter the movement pattern. If you allow fatigue to alter the movement pattern, what's going to happen is you're going to hurt yourself. And you know, people can listen to this and say, well, it won't happen to me. Fine. Good luck. I wish you the best. But I'll tell you what. Over the years that I've been doing this, and I've been doing this a long, long time, I've gotten plenty of emails and plenty of letters, and I've talked to plenty of people who say, it won't happen to me. And sooner or later, they all say, oops, guess what happened? I mean, you know, training should be intelligent, sensible, difficult, demanding, hard as heck, but it should not be unnecessarily dangerous. So, I'm a believer of what they would call concentric failure. In other words, you go until you can't do another rep in good form,
right,
and then you stop. Now, You've also got people who say, you know, go until you can't budge the bar at all, and you're sitting there, you're
but that's,
you know,
that's
pushing
that's
or pulling isometrically.
Yeah, that's a recipe for injury, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a recipe for burnout, and it's a recipe for, in my opinion, something that is unnatural and completely unnecessary. And then you've got the beyond failure where...
get assistance.
You get assistance, and you do forced reps,
yeah,
and then you do negatives and all that. And, you know, once again, completely unnecessary. You know, a lot of magazines will, you know, throw it out there and, you know, make it sound like it's heroic and superhuman and all the champs do it and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm saying not a good idea. And I will note, you can do that kind of thing on machine exercises like leg extensions, for example. You can do it on arm exercises. You can do it on lateral raises. There are certain exercises where it works. There are other exercises where it absolutely doesn't. Squats, deadlifts, bench press, military press. Obviously not on power cleans, power snatches, clean grip high pulls, snatch grip high pulls, etc. So on what I would consider the very most effective exercises you can do, you can't use that kind of training anyway. So what's the point?
Right. Right. So, but and before we go into the break,
mm-hmm.
clearly you feel that once you lose the ability to control the weight for full range, good form, which you started out with, then you have gone to failure. You don't need to keep pumping out those partials or those strained reps. It's not going to do anything better for you. You've already reached the point of stimulating muscle growth.
Absolutely. And I will go beyond that and say it's not only not necessary, it's counterproductive.
And that's what I want to talk about. So do you even believe that training to failure is necessary? And I got to believe no, because when we're doing a 5x5 program, at least the first three sets, and sometimes even the last two sets, you're not hitting failure. You're struggling. But you're not hitting failure yet. And so clearly you are of the mindset that while failure may be an advanced technique to use here and there, it is not requisite to see muscle growth.
I would agree with that.
That's amazing to me. And I'll tell you something else that I've been thinking about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that it's deleterious to strength gains, to exhaust the nervous system to that point. May not actually benefit you in your strength gains. Let's do this. Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk more about this because this is an interesting discussion in and of itself.
I would love to bounce back to the point that you just made.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because it's something that I'm starting to think of too. And it's not because I'm getting weaker. I'm actually getting stronger. I'm back at my peak strength and now I'm going to go from here cautiously, and strategically to get stronger. But I don't want to do things that are unnecessary. Let's face it. I'm not trying to win a how many reps can you do award. I'm just trying to get stronger intelligently. And there's one person that can help me do that, and he can help you too. And that's Brooks Kubik, because he's helped thousands, tens of thousands. You can't imagine the number of people that I talk to, from Mike Mahler on up and down the line, who say their earliest introduction into weightlifting and physical culture was one of Brooks Kubik's books. And here he is right in front of you right now on the radio. And soon, his own show, Physical Culture Radio. So be prepared for that. We'll be right back.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes.
Yeah, there's something comforting knowing that I'm out there, but it'd be nicer if there was bumper music there instead to bring us back from the break. But, of course, these things happen on live radio. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I'm talking with Brooks Kubik. So, Brooks, before we went into the break, I said, I'm starting to rethink this whole training to failure thing, and that maybe it's not the best thing if strength is your goal to completely deplete, annihilate, exhaust the central nervous system, the brain, the muscles, and take them to this traumatic point, expecting the body to supercompensate and come back stronger. Or does it work?
I don't believe that it works in the long term. I think that it will work in the short term for some people, particularly younger trainees. For older trainees, it's, I think, contraindicated. I was tempted to say a recipe for disaster. I won't go that far, but
right.
it's close. And what I believe is the most important thing is to train very hard, train progressively, train with perfect form, And note that perfect form does not mean slow motion, slow speed, 2 seconds up, 4 seconds down. It simply means perfect form.
Controlling the weight.
Controlling the weight. And you can control the weight at lightning fast speed, or you can control it at a regular speed, or you can control it at a slow speed. But control does not necessarily mean slow. So don't get mixed up on that. I know a lot of people get mixed up on that. But the thing about training is that there are certain exercises that are truly effective, truly productive. Squats, front squats, deadlifts, trap bar deadlifts, Olympic lifting, if you know how to do Olympic lifting, standing presses, you know, a relatively short list of basic compound exercises. Those are the really, truly effective movements. Those are also the movements that work best if you work hard, work heavy, shoot for a goal number of repetitions, such as 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 or whatever. Get your goal and then stop. Rest and either move on to another exercise or do another set if you're doing multiple sets.
Well, wait, I want to say something here too, just for a second. So theoretically, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're 80% of one rep max goes up, then your one rep max goes up too. So if you only ever train to make your 80% of one rep max stronger, then are you not training more efficiently because you don't have to go into that traumatic phase where you're pushing your body completely? And everything comes back to an automobile analogy for me, Brooks. I'm sorry. I don't know why that is.
You've done this so many times on these shows. I'm used to these. I can think of three or four times in the past when you've gone to an auto analogy.
Anybody who's ever raced cars, which I did, you know that you don't want to redline. There's a lot of reasons not to redline, but one of them is it's not necessary. There is a power band where the engine per revolution, per RPM, is putting out the maximum amount of horsepower at that RPM. Sure, it'll put out 10 or 20 more horsepower if you continue above that, but the work that it's doing to increase it to 10 or 20 more horsepower is not, it's non-linear. It's actually you're burning the engine up to get 10 horsepower more, shift sooner. And isn't that the same thing when you don't have to go to failure every single time? I mean, okay, you have to get into the gym and test your one rep max because that's your goal, but you don't have to train to that one rep max.
Well, yeah, but when we're talking about failure, you know, are you talking about doing a one rep max all the time? Is that necessary? No. Is it productive? No. Is it counterproductive? Yes. Okay, that's one thing. But the other thing is, a lot of guys think they need to go into the gym and do either 5 reps to failure or 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever, and they're obsessed with going to failure, with doing as many reps as possible until they absolutely cannot do any more.
Right.
And, you know, for example, when I talk about, you know, 5 times 5, you know, I may say do 2 progressively heavier warm-up sets followed by 3 sets of 5 reps with your working weight. And when you can do 3 sets of 5 reps with your working weight, next workout, add 5 pounds to the bar. And maybe you can only do 5 on the first working set and 5 on the second and 3 on the next. What do you do then? Well, your goal becomes work from that 5-5-3 to 5-5-4 and then eventually 5 times 5. And then when you get three sets of 5 on your working sets, you move up. And when I explain that, people always say, but wait a minute, if I can do 3 sets of 5, I can do more than 5 on the first set. So shouldn't I do that? Shouldn't I do 6 reps or 7 or 8? Shouldn't I go to failure? And the answer is no, because it's part of a system. It's part of a program. It's a 5x5 schedule. Your goal is to progressively increase the weight that you can handle for those working sets of five.
Right.
And you do that by adhering to the program, which is go for your fives, rather than getting off the program and trying to work to failure. Because if you change the program by trying to train to failure, here's what will happen. You'll have a great workout, and you'll think that you're King Kong. And then you have another great workout, and you'll think you're Godzilla. And then you'll have a workout where you feel like King Kong and Godzilla combined. And at that point, you're going to say, Kubik, you're a fool. Lenore, never have the guy on the show again. Workout after that, you're going to have a bad workout. And you're going to say, gee, I wonder what I did wrong. And the next workout, it's going to be even worse. And the workout after that, it's going to be pathetic. And the reason is, you are overtraining. You're off the progressive system, and you're into a helter-skelter, I'm going to kill myself in every workout because that's what I think I need to do to gain. And what happens is you stop all gains. Give you a simple example. Do you know anyone who runs marathons?
I've known a few people over my life, yeah.
Okay, you know how people train to run a marathon?
Yeah, they train, they run, 20 miles a day every single day.
Do they run whatever distance they run on a daily basis? Do they run it as fast as possible every time?
I don't think so.
No, absolutely. You couldn't. Okay. Give me a boxer, a professional boxer, okay? Some of the best conditioned athletes in the world. Tremendously conditioned, okay? Incredibly tough. Think of their training. Do they go 12 rounds with a top opponent in every training session?
No, of course not. No.
No, you couldn't do it. Does a wrestler do that?
No.
Does a lifter, a weightlifter, power lifter, strongman, do you have anybody on the strongman circuit who does a competitive, here's as much as I can move, as fast as I can move, every time I train I'm going to do that? Of course not.
No.
And you don't train development.
You don't train racehorses that way either.
That's a good analogy.
You may have a horse that's going to run a mile and a quarter, and you only let him blast for a few furlongs at a time. You don't want to make him leave his race in the barn.
Absolutely. That's a perfect analogy since we live in Louisville, Kentucky, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, right next to Churchill Downs. But, a lot of people train to failure because they think, if I don't give it all I have, I'm not going to make progress. And the answer is, oh, yes, you are. And I want to emphasize, I am not talking about light training. I'm not talking about easy training. I'm not talking about sissy workouts. I'm talking about training that is tough and difficult and demanding and challenging, and most people won't go anywhere near it. In fact, they will turn and run if you suggest that they train the way I'm talking about. But there's a difference between hard progressive training and crazy, over the top, knock yourself out stuff solely for the sake of knocking yourself out. Anybody can go to the gym and knock themselves out. The point is, can anybody go to the gym and make themselves progressively, over time, stronger and better, so they can leave the gym and show outside the gym on the competition platform or wherever they want to show what they've achieved? Can they do that? Or are they just beating themselves up but never really getting much in the way of results, which is what happens, unfortunately, to most people?
Yeah.
Interesting topic.
Yeah, no, I know. And it really is an interesting topic because everybody wants to work hard. But everybody wants the most responsiveness from their body for the work that they put in.
Yeah.
We've come to the end of the interview. If you have any questions for Brooks, please send them to onair@superhumanradio.com and look forward in the next couple weeks for an opportunity to pick up the Superhuman University course on mental focus that Brooks did that so many people still talk about today. Rob Regish talks about that course.
7 keys to concentration.
Yeah, we're going to find a way to get it into your hands really, really easy, really, really fast. Brooks, thanks so much for being on the show today, brother.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a good one.
Soon. Okay.
Bye.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, Dan Pardee is going to join us, and we're going to be talking about modern lifestyles and sleep, some angles on getting your sleep straightened out that you have not heard discussed before. I can promise you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Super Human Radio.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5 pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University. Add 1 inch to your upper arms course and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Hello, boys and girls. My name is Fatlip.
His name is Fatlip.
This is my friend, Sammy the Salmon.
And Fatlip is going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Superior Hardcore Peptides banner ad today. And when entering the coupon code NEWS, NEWS30, saving 30% on every peptide on the website. So check it out. NEWS30, save 30%. Check it out. All right. So at Ancestral Health Symposium 2013 in Atlanta, I heard a lot of brilliant discussions, eye-opening information, but few of them were as eye-opening as this next discussion we're going to have with a fellow who's been on the show before, and that's Dan Pardee. How you doing, Dan?
Doing great, Carl. Good to be back on the show.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of information is recycled, retweaked, But you talked about some very, very novel approaches to assessing and the relationship of modern lifestyles and the problems we're having with sleep today, which by my own estimation is really a very, very at a very dangerous point now in our society. More and more people are not sleeping well for one reason or another. It's leading to disease. It's leading to loss of productivity. It's leading to depression. It's leading to all sorts of problems, isn't it?
Oh, you know, absolutely. It's kind of ironic because at the Ancestral Health Symposium, Nassim Taleb, who's the author of The Black Swan, also spoke. And if you're not familiar with the book, A Black Swan, the concept of a black swan is something that you could never see coming that has a really significant change on the outcome of a future event. So the idea is that you could do all the planning that you would like to try to predict, like, what your future is going to be like. You know, companies do this all the time when they're trying to, you know, have an idea of what things are going to look like 3 to 5 years. And this concept is something comes from out of nowhere that you never could have planned for, and it just changes the entire landscape. And, you know, in a way, sleep is actually somewhat like that, because with the normal health dialogue, it really revolves around, or it has been for a long time, exercise and nutrition. And sleep is now showing that it's probably of equal importance, in some cases, you know, greater importance than, you know, some aspects of physical activity and nutrition. And I actually don't like to necessarily prioritize in that manner, but I think that what we have is really a three legs of a stool here.
Exactly. And you know what? And I was going to say, if you have a three-legged stool or a tripod, can you really say that this leg is more important than that one? No, they all depend on each other to maintain stability and balance. You remove any one of them and the effects are the same. And I agree with you 100%. The problem today is that since the Industrial Revolution, sleep has taken a position of being a nuisance. You know, movies like Wall Street with Gordon Gekko, Money Never Sleeps. You know, you have people working 2 and 3 jobs. Shift work has become not an extremity of employment, but now a regularity with companies that regularly employ a midnight to 8 a.m. shift. People have to pay their bills, and that's the only job they can get, that's what they do. So back in the days of Shakespearean, of Shakespeare, they wrote about sleep being a magical, mystical time that was equally as important as awake periods. Fast forward to today, sleep is, you know, people are lazy. If they're sleeping, they're wasting time. You should be up. You know this. I mean, I remember that term, a very sage businessman who didn't understand the realities of his comment, who passed away, used to say to me, there's plenty of time to sleep when you're dead. Well, guess what? If you take that attitude, you'll be dead sooner.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned shift work, because we tend to think of shift work as somebody that has a, you know, some sort of work shift that will change in terms of when it happens in a 24-hour period, sometime within a month. Or usually within a week. So a nursing schedule is can be thought of as a, you know, shift work. So they work, let's say, 8 to 5, 4 days a week, and then they have a night shift where they work from, you know, midnight to 8. So that's kind of the traditional shift work idea. But I also think that because of technology, because we can take, you know, cell phones with us everywhere we go, including into bed, tablets, et cetera, the accessibility to technology and therefore to your work, whether you're replying to emails, doing research, working on a presentation, whatever it might be, you can, you know, and now a new common type of shift work is for young families. They'll go to work, they'll come home, they'll be with the children for a few hours, and then they'll put them to bed, and then they'll go back to work for another 3, 4, 5 hours. And, you know, part of that also has to do with just the modern, you know, kind of the pressures of modern work environment.
Right.
When you're at work, there's so much task switching that happens, and task switching is this idea that you are having to go from an email to a conversation that you're having with somebody, to a meeting, back to a chat message, but you're constantly getting interrupted. And so it's difficult and it's energetic. It's costly for the mind to have to switch focus from one thing to the next. And that happens all day long. And so what happens for a lot of people is the best opportunity for them to get a certain type of work done happens to be late at night when there's less interruption. And that's another pressure that from our modern world that's causing people to, you know, get less sleep and also get more light exposure at night and these kind of new sleep wake patterns across, you know, a day of a week.
Well, now I want to jump around because it just makes better sense than you. Sure. You did an amazing job of leading us down this path in the symposium. So it's blue light, apparently, that is the culprit for telling the body through the retina that this is a daytime period of time and kind of disrupting the biological clock, the suprachiasmatic nuclei, and everything else that has this desire to be asleep at night. Is it not?
Well, yeah. So blue light is... I'll start this way. So light usually enters into the, you know, it enters into the eye and it will make its way back to the retina. And there's multiple layers of the retina. And at the very farthest, the farthest back layer, we have our traditional rods and cones, which are really unique cells in the body, and they can transduce a photo signal into a neural signal. So what that means, they can take light and then turn that into a signal that goes back into the brain, into the primary visual cortex, where we can actually turn light into images that we can see. In the mid-90s, a researcher, Ignacio Provencio, discovered that there was a new type of photoreceptor in a different part of the retina that can also transduce light, but it doesn't communicate via the optic nerve to go back to the brain. It communicates via something called this retinal hypothalamic tract. So it goes back to the hypothalamus. Uh-huh. And we now know, yeah, the hypothalamus is really what's controlling, for the most part, sleep-wake cycles across the day and the night. And this is, it's interesting because one story that I told at the symposium is of a research, or is of a man, Konstantin von Economo. And in the early 19th century, he was seeing all of these cases of this viral encephalitis. And as he was doing dissections on the brains after people had died, he noticed that people that suffered from really, really bad insomnia had a lesion in a certain part of the brain. And then there were other people that could not, they had the opposite. They had really awful sleepiness. They couldn't stay awake. So, and that was in a different part of the brain. And both of those were in the parts of the hypothalamus, one in anterior, one in the posterior. And so he made predictions that this was a center that was, you know, intimately controlled the sleep-wake cycle. And as the modern sleep era, research era came, you know, became, I guess more advanced, we were able to identify that his predictions were really, really accurate. And so, yeah, so the hypothalamus is really what's controlling the sleep-wake cycle across the day. And what's interesting, and this is one of the most, I can get back to circadian rhythms in a minute, but one of the more interesting things that I've learned as I've been interested in sleep is that our sleep, you know, how sleepy you feel right now is not determined by one process.
Right.
It's actually determined by multiple processes that are working together. And in fact, one of the most famous, actually the most cited publication in sleep medicine is from a man, Alexander Bourbet, who published this really landmark, seminal piece of sleep research in the early 80s in a small journal, and it was entitled The Two-Process Model for Sleep and Wake. And one process he termed Process S, which was, S stood for sleepiness. And the idea there is that from, you know, Process S will build up the longer you are awake. So it's very low in the morning and it's high right before bed, right? But you don't get sleepier and sleepier as the day goes on. You might wake up, have a little bit of sleep inertia, what is called a little grogginess. But then you have relative stable sleepiness across the day. There's some dips in the afternoon. There are what are called ultradian rhythms, or some slight rhythms that happen across the day. But for the most part, you know, you actually stay, you know, relatively the same degree of alertness from morning to night. In fact, a little bit better in the evening, which is a period of time referred to as the wake maintenance zone. And the reason for that is, now, why would that make sense? If you have process S, which is sleepiness, building and building across the day, then why aren't you getting any sleepier? And that's because it's opposed by something called process C. And process C is a circadian wake rhythm. And that is actually not a homeostatic process, which means that it's not something that just builds and builds and builds proportional to how long you've been awake, but it actually has a daily rhythm.
And so, right? you have to get to a point where it trips. It's, in other words, you have to build up so much sleep pressure that
right.
all of a sudden it exceeds the circadian rhythm's desire to stay awake, and it flips a switch as opposed to some sort of dynamic potentiometer, if you will.
You know, that's exactly right. So in the end, because that process C, that wake drive, is on this sinusoidal rhythm, it can, when it actually will dip down at night, and then all of a sudden you have unopposed sleep pressure. And that sleep pressure will then initiate sleep onset and then maintenance. And also it'll stimulate, it's a very beautiful process. It also stimulates a certain type of sleep called slow wave sleep. And during slow wave sleep, we have high amounts of growth hormone release. And, you know, there's this whole, you know, beautiful process where the body is responding to kind of the pressures, quote unquote, that had built up over the day, and then are handling that sleep pressure kind of proportionally so that you can get certain types of sleep across a sleep period.
Now,
way you can wake up next morning to refreshed.
We have to take a break, but this beautiful, elegant process is really mismatched for our lifestyles today. And it actually poses some problems because we don't feel sleepy, but we are being impaired by the sleep accumulation. And I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. We're talking with Dan Pardee. We're taking a different view on sleep and modern lifestyles. And I can promise you it's going to get even more interesting. Don't forget, Dan is also the guy behind dansplan.com. Especially if you have a Fitbit, you can sign up at dansplan.com to use his system to monitor progress and speed progress for all of your weight loss and muscle gaining goals. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely
free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
I don't know.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dan Pardee. We're talking about modern lifestyle and sleep disorders. It's really a bit more complex than many want to think about. So this unique and elegant way that our body knows it's time to go to sleep has a major pitfall as I see it. And that is, there are periods of the day where you may not have flipped the switch, but you're clearly not alert enough to be doing certain things. Is that true?
Well, a lot of that will have to do with the amount of sleep pressure that you're carrying from day to day, right? So it is true we are getting less sleep than we were on a population level than we were 50 years ago. So some self-reported sleep times were collected in the early 1900s and showed that people averaged somewhere between 8.5 and 9 hours of time in bed. Around 1960s, they started to collect this sort of information a little bit more regularly and found around that time that sleep self-reported sleep times were around the same as they were in the beginning of that century. And ever since then, there's been a decay. You know, you could say slow decay, but actually it's a very extremely fast decay of the amount of average sleep time that people get. And so the National Sleep Foundation now does surveys pretty regularly, and they found that most recently that people average, Americans average about 6.5 hours of time in bed per night during the week, and then they try to make up for that lost sleep by getting, you know, 7 hours and 20 minutes on the weekends. So that's essentially the new modern lifestyle. And, you know, sleep can take many forms. So it's, you know, there was some news recently, probably maybe a year ago now, about a professor who had been, he was a history professor, and he was looking back into historical texts, and he was finding that there was constant references to second sleep, first and second sleep. And that, you know, created a little
we,
bit
we
of
actually
immediate.
Did that show. Yeah. We did the show
you
about
did.
That. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, there was a little bit of a, you know, media storm around that because, oh, you know, and you know, the wrong conclusion was drawn from what most of the things that I read.
The wrong conclusion being that is the appropriate way to sleep, that you should wake up in the middle of the night and go back to sleep. When it, what it did show was that because of the long durations that people spent in bed, in my humble opinion, this is what I thought it meant, because of the lack of electricity and what we have today, people spent very long periods of time in bed. So there were periods of time where they woke up, but they went back to sleep. It wasn't like you should have that biphasic sleep schedule.
Right, right. It's just, it shows one actual possibility of how we can sleep. And the you're right, that's one incorrect conclusion is that's how you have to sleep. The other incorrect conclusion is that 8 hours of consolidated sleep is unnatural and, you know, not actually, it's not a natural way for us to sleep.
Right.
Now, if you think about it, the reason when light goes down, and that totally depends on the time of year, then we start to, certain signals, will accumulate, for example, melatonin. So melatonin responds to dim light. So once the type of light and the intensity of light that is entering the eye starts to change from day to night, then something called dim light melatonin onset will occur, right? And that's, so as light dims, melatonin levels go up. Now, melatonin is actually not a very strong hypnotic. It's taken mostly to help people go to sleep, but it's actually a weak soporific or sleep-inducing agent. What it mostly does is it actually helps to reinforce to the brain that it's actually dark out, right? So there's two ways the brain can do that. It can actually see that there's a lack of light, and then it also has this other chemical that is released, melatonin, which then goes to the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which you mentioned earlier, is the master clock of the brain. And it says, yes, it is dark out, right? And we're getting a lot less darkness than we were, you know, before, as you said, the Industrial Revolution, where we were able to, you know, have now we have a much higher degree of artificial light in
right.
our environment.
And artificial light that is more worrisome. You know, incandescent bulbs and fire did not do to the retina what these iPad screens and iPhone screens do to the retina. Am I correct on that? Am I off base on that?
Well, you know, I think that there's real potential for the screens. Yes, so the type of light that is emitted, the spectrum of light that is emitted is different with candles and fire, right? It's more amber, more, you know, kind of yellow tone. And that, that spectrum of light is not very good at signaling those special cells that we were talking about earlier
right.
that were discovered in the 90s that say to the brain it's day out, right? So the reason why, and then, you know, high definition screens and mobile devices, they do emit a more full spectrum white light, and that can actually, you know, that now they're not that strong, so they're not emitting a very, very strong light, and it can be very bright. And there's a difference between brightness and light intensity, which is a little confusing, but a great way to understand that is, let's say you're looking at your iPhone or your iPad on full brightness in a dark room, and it's going to feel so, you know, it's almost painful, right? But you take that iPad outside in the day and you can barely see it, right? So brightness is relative luminosity, and intensity actually has to do with the strength of the light signal. And basically, outdoor light is much, much stronger than indoor light or light that's emitted from these devices. But these devices can, you know, artificial light can make the brain think that it is daytime when it's actually night. And that has, I think, an untold number of health issues that we're dealing with, that this is kind of going back to that black swan. It's, you know, the body tries to maintain, you know, these rhythms, of which sleep and wake cycles is just one of them, these circadian or 24-hour rhythms. You know, I was talking about how beautifully orchestrated that is. Well, it's just one of many, many different rhythms that is on this 24-hour cycle. And what you have is these rhythms will form what's called phase relationships, right? So at night, when you're going to sleep, right, then you're going to have a large amount of the growth hormone that is released, melatonin is going to be high, cortisol should be low, right? And so it's a very unique signature at that period of time that is then telling cells it's affecting cell cycle growth and repair processes. It's affecting how tissues function. And so we now know people that do a lot of shift work have drastically elevated risks of cancer, like fivefold higher than average. And and higher levels of diabetes and obesity. And it's because the body is in permanent desynchrony. It can't line up because it takes, a good way to think of this is if you travel from, where you are across seas, right, it's going to take you days before you can adjust that new time period, right? You can basically flip the time clock, right? So it's, you go where it's daytime now, it's nighttime somewhere else, and you can travel there, and within 10 days, you'll adjust to it. And the way that you adjust to it is your body taking in those signals, but it happens over time, right? So if you have a schedule, and again, a lot of young people, they maintain a very late schedule during the weekend because they're out socializing and that's just a common pattern as well. And then they come back and it's, Monday morning, painful. And the reason why is because their circadian rhythms, including their wake drive, starts to shift. It's shifting it's called a delayed, clock. And it's a little weird because you think you might think it was advanced, but delayed clock means that you're going to be, that alerting signal to wake you up in the morning is shifting a few hours forward. So instead of waking you up at 7, it's waking you up at 10. And then also it stays keeping you alert later into the evening. And so some people that have delayed sleep phase syndrome are super sleepy all day long. They just, they're just dying to get into bed. And then as soon as it's bedtime, they wake up. Right. And that's because, their rhythm has been shifted. And so that's something that you can actually easily address by smart light rhythms, and a consistent schedule. But to a lot of degrees, we all kind of can deal with that. Some people are just more susceptible to it, and it has to do with their endogenous or their innate, rhythm. So something, we call it a 24-hour cycle or circadian rhythm.
But it's not 24 hours for everybody. Right. It's not 24
hours.
Right.
Exactly.
And we know that because when they put people in complete darkness and they allow their own circadian rhythm or their own biological clock to start keeping time, you find some people think the day is 28 hours long or even 22 hours long. So
that's exactly right. Yeah, it's called your tau, and it's the length of your own internal daily cycle. And, so you said you put somebody in a stimulation-free environment, and, a week and a half later – they feel like, oh, I've just been, going to bed and waking up, and they're going to wake up. They're going to, when you kind of get them out of that environment, it'll be like they're in Europe, right? They've shifted that much.
Right.
Right. So we need appropriate light signal to help anchor our rhythms. And if we think about it, we're spending way too much time indoors and we don't get enough outdoor light. We don't have enough anchoring of their circadian rhythms, which means we're more susceptible or vulnerable to light at night, shifting our rhythms forward. So we already have an endogenous clock that's longer, and then artificial light that can pull it even farther. So we can shift up to 3 hours a day. And, we can kind of make up for by masking sleepiness with coffee, et cetera. But what about the rest of the rhythms of the body, that are, again, related to both behavior and mood, but also to physiological processes like temperature, cell rhythms, all that.
Right. Activity, diet, eating, people who eat late at night but don't eat during the day, guess what? They're telling their body through their dietary habits that it's the daytime and nighttime are flipped as well, which is confusing when the eye does get light. Let's do this. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about something that I was really intrigued by during your lecture.
Yeah.
And that was... we all think about adenosine in the area of adenosine triphosphate, muscle energy, and so on. But adenosine seems to play a role in all this, does it not?
It absolutely does.
Well, don't say another word. I want you to plug your website. I know that you and Stefan Guyanne are working on a project right now as well. There's a separate website for that, or is there? Tell me about that real quick.
Yeah, sure. So I started a dance plan several years ago, and the entire... The higher focus is to try to help people maintain a healthier lifestyle every day. And then as a part of that, so that we have free tools that you can use online, and that includes daily triggers like ideas for exercise, and then also some tracking so you have awareness of what you're, if you're actually meeting your daily health goals. So that's one aspect. And then we create programs around that. So we have a corporate wellness program. And then we also, and then Stefan and I are working on something called the Ideal Way program. And I had it, this is actually something that I've been working on for many years. Because Stefan is so good at what he does, I asked him if he wanted to collaborate on this. We've been now collaborating for about a year. And next week we're going to be releasing Ideal Way 2.0, and we're really excited about it. So I'm happy to tell you more now or later, whatever you like.
Okay. All right, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about that later. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to throw something totally different into the discussion, and that is the role of adenosine in this whole scenario. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dan Pardee. We'll be right back.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Showtime. Are you going to the Olympia this year? Don't forget to stop at the Live On Labs booth. Alisa and I will be there Friday and Saturday. Come by and we'll have some vitamin C shooters. We'll be doing shots of lipo vitamin C at the Live On Labs booth. Check it out. We're talking with Dan Pardee. Okay, so here's something I've never heard of before in the discussion of sleep, better acquisition of sleep, or modern lifestyle's contribution to poor sleep. Explain the relationship between adenosine and sleep patterns.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, if you think about what adenosine triphosphate is, it is a currency for energy and for, you know, for cells to use to engage in the physiological processes that they need to function, right? And so the way that that works is adenosine is broken down, and in the breaking down of adenosine, there's energy that is released and can be utilized. And so adenosine is what's called a purine nucleotide, and is also, it's released throughout the, you know, different parts of the body, but astrocytes, which are cells in that are nearby neurons, will release adenosine. And what they found, this is Radhika Bashir, who was working with Tara Porkkahisinen at Harvard. It was really difficult to figure out exactly what was going on, but probably the most clear study was that they showed was in rats, they could, they're measuring the levels of adenosine in an extracellular space in the basal forebrain. They found that it would actually rise proportional to how long they've been awake. And so you took a control group of rats, and then you kept another group up 1 hour longer, then another group 2 hours longer, then another group up 3 hours longer, and you measured the amount of adenosine in this certain part of the brain. You'd find that the longer they were up, the longer, the higher those levels would be. And then secondarily, when these animals were given recovery sleep and allowed to sleep, so, you know, recovery 1 hour, recovery 2 hours, and they measured at 1 hour and 2 hours, they found that the levels would go down proportional to how long they slept. And so when we go back to that conversation about Alexander Borbé's two-process sleep model with process S, there's, you know, again, that is just a conceptual model, but it seems to make sense that what process S is, or what at least is a significant part of process S, is adenosine. And it totally makes sense. It accumulates proportional to brain activity. Now, your brain is not completely, you know, it's not this completely quiescent state at night. It actually is working. Some parts of the brain are working, are more active at night than they are at any other time during the day. But for the most part, you know, it is a time of behavioral quiescence and reduced neuronal activity. And so that, so we now know that adenosine is really important, and it's the way that it actually signals sleepiness is there are different receptors that adenosine will bind to. And there's adenosine 1 and adenosine 2 receptors. And those receptors are on different places that are associated with either wake drive or the drive to cause more sleepiness. And so the way that there's probably 8 or 9 candidate neurobiological systems that are involved in what's called your wake network. And I won't go over all of them, but I'll just kind of name a few. There's the reticular activating system, which uses glutamine in the brainstem, and that will ascend into the cortex and kind of, and wake it up. And then you also have monoaminergic cells like, acetylcholine, actually cholinergic, serotonin, dopamine, right? All of those have certain locations that, and those where those, neurotransmitters originate from and then spread into the brain. And those origination sites have receptors for adenosine. And so as adenosine will cause those wake centers to quiet down or become less active, right? Now, conversely, there's a different type of receptor on an area called the ventral lateral preoptic area, and that's the area of the brain that actually becomes more active during sleep, right? And we remember when I was talking about von Economo, that Viennese researcher who was looking at the encephalitis patient.
Right.
Yeah, one of those sites that caused terminal insomnia in subjects, there were lesions in the anterior hypothalamus. This is where the ventral lateral preoptic area is, right? So that's, you need that area to be active in order to initiate sleep. And so what happens is adenosine builds up, it causes activity in that area, right? It increases the, it's like a stimulant for that area of the brain. And that area of the brain will send, you know, connections to both the network, the wake network, and it tell it to quiet down. And that's what initiates the flip from being awake to being asleep. And then it also sustains sleepiness across the night.
Okay, now, right? So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question, Dan.
Sure. Yeah.
The accumulation of adenosine in the brain, is it exclusively a result of brain activity, or is some of it the result of muscular activity throughout the day? In other words, when we're active and ATP recycles, you know, we talk about how creatine feeds it and all that sort of stuff, does some of that adenosine from skeletal muscle end up accumulating in the brain as a way of saying, boy, we've been really busy today?
Yeah, well, you know, there are, you know, there's the blood-brain barrier is designed to keep only a certain type of molecule from getting into the brain and others from not getting into the brain. But there are also certain areas that are called circumventricular organs and some other sites too, which are basically areas that allow for the brain to sample the blood and say, okay, like what's happening in the blood? What's out there? Substrate.
Stick your head out the door and see if it's raining.
Exactly. Yeah, fatty acids, glucose, amino acids. And so the brain can detect, you know, what's happening in the blood and then actually respond accordingly. You know, it turns out that for, you know, the site of adenosine action is very local. So you need to kind of, you know, that was one of the problems. And they did look, hey, is there any sort of, you know, blood-borne accumulation molecule? Serotonin was looked at. There was an area of interest for a little while. There's, you know, there was thought that there was an area, again, in the basal forebrain that was, you know, responsive to levels of circulating serotonin that might help with the sleep initiation process. But, you know, now whether or not a molecule that is released in response to muscle activity can actually get into the brain is, you know, is one thing, but also physical activity will cause the brain to engage in, you know, in
more
a lot
work.
More activity as well.
Right.
You know, particularly if, you know, you're, let's say you're mountain biking down a hill and your eyes are just, you know, really focused on the, you know, on deviations in the terrain, right? You know, you're in the kind of a natural environment where there's just a lot of, think about how much processing is going on
right.
by, you know, adjusting your body weight accordingly as you're traversing down this slope of, you know, irregular, you know, ground and slippery gravel, right? So much different than just like kind of running on a treadmill.
Right.
But anyway, right? And so there's been, it was a little disappointing, I would say, that some researchers early on showed that the amount of physical activity that you do doesn't really influence sleep that much. Meaning like if you, you know, get it consistently. But I think that there's been other research that has shown that it has. It does, that, you know, physical activity does affect it. And we do know at extreme levels, like let's say if you're subjected to bed rest and you don't move at all, then you end up getting a lot of very fragmented sleep at night, right? It's not consolidated, which means that you're able to cluster all that sleep into, you know, a very efficient time period where you're basically wearing down adenosine, which is sleep pressure, so that you start the day next day with a clean slate. So, you know, to answer your question, I think that sleep or that exercise can influence, you know, how well we sleep at night. It also can influence it negatively.
I know.
If you work out really hard at night, you're going to be releasing catecholamines and alerting signals, and that can disrupt and fragment sleep too.
And that's why you shouldn't train late at night, quite frankly, but that's a discussion for a different show. Here's what I want to do. I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to briefly talk just a little bit more about adenosine, and then
sure.
I want to talk about maybe a brief prescription that maybe people can adhere to improve their quality of sleep, and then we'll talk about the project that you and Stefan Guyanet are working on as well. We're talking with Dan Pardee. We're talking about modern lifestyles and how they influence poor sleep, and we're going to talk about what you could do to regain your sleep. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
There are
are few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University Add 1 inch to Your Upper Arms course and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane. You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5-pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dan Pardee. His website is dansplan.com. Dan, do you think that we see the opportunity for intranasal delivery of adenosine to try to help people sleep better? Since we talk about, you know, and many of us, including myself, use melatonin as a hypnotic, but as you point out, it's not a good hypnotic. What about intranasal adenosine? We know that intranasal delivery is the Trojan horse into the brain to get past the blood-brain barrier.
It's a great question, Carl. I think it's been looked at, and I actually don't know enough about that line of research to comment on it well enough for your audience. But it has been looked at, and it's really a great thought. You know, I will comment on a really interesting new class of hypnotics that's been researched. So my mentor is an incredible man named Jed Black, and he was the director of the Stanford Sleep Clinic for about 16 years, which is the first of its kind. The Stanford Sleep Clinic was the first clinic in the world. Sleep clinic in the world, excuse me. And so Jed has been working on a new class of hypnotics. So the usual hypnotics have been a version of the same sort of molecule. So they are affecting the GABA system in the brain. And the idea is to try to facilitate enhanced GABAergic signaling. So you know, if GABA can make us sleepy, then if we can enhance that, it can make us sleepier, right? The new class.
Yeah, you know what? It's called GHB. I'm just kidding, but it really is. But go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Carl. I think that the I don't know if you know this, but GHB is probably the only thing that I would consider myself an expert in, because I studied it for years, and Jed and I have done a lot of writing on that. It's a fascinating drug.
I know, and the irony is that they use GHB for the opposite reason, just the same way they use Adderall to slow down kids who are ADHD. They give GHB to people who have narcolepsy, and it keeps them up. But that's an entirely different discussion. So what about this modified GABA? Because, you know, I've used GABA on and off for decades now, usually about 3 grams to 5 grams right before bed, and it's like taking a benzodiazepine without all the side effects.
Well, yes, so this new class actually works entirely differently. So, you know, before we had originally with the GABAergic drugs, it was benzodiazepines and then non-benzodiazepine hypnotics, which basically meant that they modified the chemical. So there was, like, you know, Ambien, the Zopaclone, even Sonata. They're all versions of the same thing, and they served as what's called allosteric modulators of the GABA system. So they bind to a GABA receptor, and then when GABA is present, it allows for more chloride to kind of leave the cell, and that actually kind of enhances. It's like turning up the volume on the GABA signal, right? Now those work pretty well, but they have their issues. Why don't they work better? Well, if you remember, we were talking earlier about two different systems that are causing you to be awake or be asleep. So modern sleep issues are not a lack of sleepiness, but rather an overactive alert signal, right? Because of environmental stimuli and light coming into the brain, right? And so we stay engaged, alert, and artificially stimulated because of, you know, how we can surround our home environment with things that are fun to play with. And light itself is a direct stimulator of cognition and actually suppresses that sleep initiation center, the VLPO, directly.
So
what if we flipped it, and instead of trying to enhance the sleep signal, what if we tried to suppress the wake signal? And so at the center of that wake signal is a type of neuron called hypocretin. And you mentioned narcolepsy. Narcoleptics are missing that protein in the brain. Okay. That's why they can't, you know, they have very severe sleepiness. They can't, and additionally.
Oh, and really, so what happens is the S factor that you were talking about before with them, that switch flips like boom, if multiple times. They must reach that peak where they just go right to sleep.
You're exactly right. You nailed it. So they're more like a cat, right? They, you know, they sleep multiple times throughout the day and the night. Or at least they want to. Now, the modern world isn't really set up for that, so they try to, you know, they take amphetamines to, because, you know, what hypocretin does, it's a great way to think of it. It serves as like kind of a symphony conductor. It's telling all those wake neurotransmitter systems, hey, be on, play, right? And what do you think, helping to orchestrate the activity of hypocretin? Well, it's light coming into the eye. It lets the hypocretin cells know, hey, it's daytime, play. Oh, it's night, stop playing. Right. So this is part of that whole beautiful kind of synchronous system. And so this new class of hypnotics is doing, it's working directly on hypocretin neurons and suppressing their activity. So instead of amplifying again the sleepiness signal, you're suppressing the wake drive, and that's probably going to address modern sleep issues better than Ambien.
Okay.
Or drugs like
that. That makes perfect sense. What about something as simple as this? What about if I locate the sunrise sunset schedule for my area? I find civilian sunset, and I put on a set of blue blocker glasses at that time every night. What am I oversimplifying this equation, or would a pair of blue blockers, which block out that blue light, that seems to be the one that is most associated with interruptions of the normal rhythm, sleep rhythms. If I just started putting those on at that time every night, could I actually help reset myself?
You know, I think it's actually a pretty good idea, and there's a couple of different approaches. Both of them need to be tested. One of them is, again, putting on blue blocking glasses. I own a pair. I recommend them. The other one, I think the real, well, I'm excited about how, it's funny because I often educate about how technology is really interfering with our biology. It enables us to live in what our, our genes consider a very abnormal way.
Right.
And this is not, this is a hypothesis. This is the discordant hypothesis. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, in fact, there's plenty of good examples which suggest that it absolutely does. But then, technology could also be the solution because in the very near future, we can, instead of having to put on glasses, we might just, our home environment might, change automatically, right? Because of wireless systems, et cetera, that can now affect, when lights turn on. There's new types of light bulbs that Philips makes, the Hue light, which can, it's LED and it can change the spectrum automatically. So I think that kind of like the program F.Lux, which you can install on your computer.
Right, right.
Where after sun goes down, it just pulls out the blue light and your screen looks more yellow. And for, 20 seconds, you have to kind of adjust to it. But then, it actually is, again, you're getting the benefit of reduced blue light. That could happen in your home as well. You'd have just kind of like an incandescent setting. And, it's not just blue light, but it's also the intensity. So you want to keep your lights in your environment in the evening, kind of more the incandescent tone. So amber and then also very dim.
But you know what? I agree with you. That is a very a futuristic goal to have that. I mean, because even the apps, not everything I have is app friendly. I've got laptops that are not app friendly and I can't get them to. I just think that, I'm one of these KISS guys, if I can get that 475 nanometers out of the equation by slipping a pair of $4 sunglasses on and walking around the house, but turning down the light too, as you point out, and doing that for a week or two at a time and have almost the same effect as going camping where you don't have any electric light and you have to go to sleep at a certain time. I'm going to try this myself. I'm the wrong person because at any given time I'm trying doing 20 different things that are new to me. But I'm actually on Amazon.com and I'm going to order a pair of blue blocker glasses for myself and Elisa, and I'm going to experiment with them at home. I am. I want to see if it's this simple, like slipping a pair of glasses on at the prescribed sundown time. Gets me to sleep better. I'll do that very happily every day.
Carl, I think that might be the better choice because there's an aspect of seasonality that we're not even discussing, and I don't think we have any idea of really how that's influencing health. But we do know in animals, there are drastic seasonal changes that we can, that are evident. And so, doing that, I think, is going to help your body have a more natural light rhythm. What I do is a little bit less severe, which is just to use the glasses within 2 hours of bed when I'm using technology, So otherwise I keep the light dim. I actually have amber light bulbs by my bed. So if I'm doing any reading on a Kindle in bed at night, I just use those and that's fine. But if I'm looking at television, I keep the glasses by the TV.
Good idea.
And if I'm, and then if I'm using my computer, I don't because I've got F.Lux, but if I'm using my iPad, then I do. And so it's dimness as low as I can kind of, as low as what is acceptable, and then use the glasses. And, I think it actually, I'll tell you this. Don't do what I did, which was really, really dumb. I was so excited when I got mine that I put them on and I was driving and I started to nod off.
Really?
At the stoplight.
Really?
Yes, it was really, yes, really powerful. And I just thought to myself, I'm like, that was maybe the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life.
You know who the first person to ever talk to me about this? This was back in 2006, I want to say. T.S. Wiley, I don't know if you know who she is, but she's the person who formulates some really unique hormone replacement protocols that have become the Wiley protocol that are used by a lot of anti-aging doctors, wrote a book, wrote a book called Lights Out, Sleep, Sugar, and Survival. And she was the first one to say, look, turn the lights out, and when it gets dim in your house and dark in your house, because the outside is dark, go to bed. That was her simple, that was, and you know, that's a real hard thing to do and remain popular. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, it's really an interesting concept. It keeps coming back around. Let's do this. I want to have you back on to talk about seasonality, and I'll work that out with you, okay? Because I feel like that has to be discussed too, because that is a continuum variable that has to be acknowledged as well. Before we do, before I let you go, tell us about the project again that you and Stefan Guyanet are working on, because he's another brilliant individual.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, Stefan is. And we met at the Ancestral Health Symposium at UCLA in 2011, I think it was. And I had just been following his work for a few months at that point and made it a point to meet him. And at that point, I had been working with a weight loss program myself that I created. And I probably had about 400 people that I had put through as a beta test with really good results. And so Stefan and I started to collaborate and kind of had weekly meetings and started to say, okay, well, let's see if we can merge some of our concepts and really create a kind of a better than anything that's out there. At least, you know, that was our goal, weight loss program. And so we created two diets. And Stefan created most of that. And they're protein centered and, you know, it's all, you know, all natural. So, you know, whole food sources. We talk about satiety and palatability and, you know, reinforcement and then also lifestyle aspects like in your environment, habits, you know, of course, physical activity and sleep. We didn't even talk during this discussion about the many ways that sleep may cause, or poor sleep may cause someone to have an increased risk of weight gain. And that is a very, very interesting story. So if Stefan and I, you know, do come back on and talk about this, we could spend, you know, a good portion of it, or, you know, a portion of it talking about, you know, sleep's relationship to weight gain. But anyway, we try to tie it into this package that gets people to live a healthy lifestyle on a daily basis and then follow one of these two different diets, which we feel is going to kind of pull all the different levers to help somebody with losing body fat in a manner that is going to allow them to sustain the majority of that weight loss. And that's, you know, a big issue. Like 1,001 ways can cause you to lose weight, but over 90% of people that lose weight have, you know, 100% weight recidivism, which means eventually it goes right back to where.
Put back on, right.
They can put it back on, and that's because some fundamental issues are not addressed. And so we try to address those issues about hypothalamic signaling, you know, well, I mean, this is, we don't talk too much about it, but we, you know, he and I do, we don't talk about it in the program, but he and I talk about it, like, okay, how are we going to modify these determinants of weight regulation so that people, you know, so it's sustainable, it's effective, and so we're releasing the 2.0 version next week, which has some enhanced, you know, capabilities. Technically, we give people a daily protein unit, which is based off of their actual activity level. And they, you know, people plan their meals around that protein unit score. So I'm really excited about it.
It sounds exciting. It does sound exciting. Listen, I want to thank you, Dan, because I know you're really busy, for coming on the air and talking about this. And hopefully people got some interesting insights about sleep and even some sleep disorders. And I would say to everybody out there, Amazon.com has blue blocker glasses on in a variety of different styles and shapes, starting out at $4 and going on up. Get yourself some blue blockers. Try what Dan does. Just put them on a couple hours before bed, especially if you're going to be watching television or looking at your iPad or your iPhone or whatever, and see what effect that has on you. I mean, it can't hurt to try it. And, of course, go to the website dansplan.com to learn more about the great work that Dan Pardee is doing. Dan, my Italian brother, thank you very much.
Carl, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Take care. Also want to thank Brooks Kubik for coming on during the first hour and sharing his insights. Please go to Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com, and look for Brooks' new radio show right here on the Superhuman Radio Network, Physical Culture Radio. It's going to be coming out next month, I predict, if everything falls into place like it's supposed to. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
Is the Superhuman Channel.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products.